Boaters, join those concerned with LightSquared's potential for GPS interference. The Dreamliner makes its first appearance in India. And one aviation recruitment firm sees things looking up. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 15th, 2011. The city of Duluth and the new principal shareholder in Cirrus, Chinese aviation conglomerate Kaiga, have signed a memo of understanding stating that Cirrus will stay and grow in the upper Midwest city. In the document, the city says it will support Cirrus, and Kaiga promises it will stay put. Cirrus is one of Duluth's principal employers, despite the jobs lost in the economic downturn. The Duluth News Tribune reports that the one-page document was signed in a ceremony at Cirrus on Tuesday. Duluth Mayor Don Ness commented, quote, "Verbal assurances are wonderful, but a written assurance signed by the president of Kaiga certainly carries much more weight," unquote. Cirrus spokesman Bill King says the MOU wasn't really necessary, that Cirrus has a long history of doing what we say, that the company's best days are ahead, and that the investment by Kaiga will help the company tap into emerging markets worldwide. Boeing and All Nippon Airways are continuing the dry runs leading up to the start of commercial service for the Dreamliner in the next few weeks. Last weekend, ANA pilots flew the Dreamliner on routes from Seattle to Tokyo and Tokyo to airports across Japan, including Osaka, Okayama, and Hiroshima. Maintenance and ground crews from ANA also gained experience with the airplane in the simulated operational environment. ANA crews also flew the new 787 into New Delhi International. That's the plane's first appearance in India. Air India is one of the early customers and has ordered 27 Dreamliners. Boat US, a lobbying organization for the recreational marine industry, has joined the growing chorus against plans by LightSquared to establish wireless broadband data services on frequencies that testing shows will interfere with GPS reception. The organization sent out a message to its members which says, quote, "The future reliability of the GPS system across the United States is now in question. Boaters could have a hard time avoiding treacherous shoals or simply finding their way home if GPS signals are interfered with, and is urging boaters to speak out during a 30-day comment period," unquote. Boat U.S. VP of Government Affairs Margaret Podlick observes, quote, "This is a remarkably short comment period for an issue that has such dire consequences for America's boaters and every other GPS user in the country," unquote. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee says it may have to subpoena documents that it has requested from the National Labor Relations Board. The committee has set July 26th as a deadline for the board to produce those documents. This all relates to the complaint filed by the board against Boeing for opening a non-union Dreamliner assembly facility in the right-to-work state of South Carolina. The International Association of Machinists initiated the complaint, saying Boeing built the plant as retaliation for previous strikes against the company. Bloomberg reports California Republican Daryl Issa, the committee chair, sent a letter to the NLRB saying that its response to a request for phone logs and emails was incomplete. The union said when it responded to the request that the information was privileged, a claim Issa says is not substantiated. The NLRB is contending that Boeing should be required to build all of its Dreamliners in the Seattle area with union labor. Boeing contends that not a single union employee has lost a job as a result of the opening of the South Carolina plant, and that closing it at this point would cost several thousand jobs in that state. Aviation Search Group, a headhunting firm, reports closing an unprecedented first half of 2011, in a good way. Director of Sales Grayson Barrows calls 2011 great so far. Quote, "It's encouraging as aviation companies of all shapes and sizes continue hiring key talent. Despite mixed industry reporting, demand is actually healthy across the board, and we don't see it slowing down. We have experienced over 40% growth from this time last year. Most importantly, this growth is a positive economic indicator as the industry continues to rebound and hiring is on the rise. Yet another hopeful sign the struggling labor market is improving. The continued hiring demand combined with our proven process led to a great first half of the year. We are confident in our positive projections for the balance of 2011. Unquote. Up next on ANN, XCOM's new Mini-Com radio does Bluetooth. Sporty's new free app will help you at Oshkosh. And if personal use of jets is wrong, guess which chief executive is the worst offender? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 15th. I'm Paul Plack. ANN is going to break some more new ground this year in covering the fun at Oshkosh, with live daily video wrap-ups from Whitman starting at 7 p.m. Central and on demand after that. Watch for details at aero-news.net, and be sure to let us know if there's anything in particular you'd like covered. In addition to the ANN regulars, you'll get to see and hear from some special guest hosts. It's going to be fun. XCOM Avionics, whose flagship product is its panel mount VHF aircraft comm transceiver, tells ANN that it will be at Oshkosh to show an updated version of the radio, which adds a Bluetooth interface. In his email, XCOM's Michael Coates told us, quote, "This means the XCOM VHF radio can now talk with your favorite Garmin device. It can communicate with iPads, Androids, and just about anything else operating with Bluetooth or USB, and is the ideal complement for many of the iPad and Android flight bags being introduced. This is a huge leap forward in cockpit technology, and I invite you to our booth number 2037 in Hangar B, against the wall closest to the runway, for a full demonstration of the technology," unquote. There was no indication of whether a price change will accompany the upgrade. The street price of the XCOM transceiver is about $1,500 U.S. There will, however, be special pricing on XCOM's aviation headset as a show special at Oshkosh. The exhibit at AirVenture may also serve to dispel rumors that the recent end of operations of XCOM's U.S. radio manufacturing partner, Narco Avionics, has interrupted availability of XCOM transceivers. Coates credits the production arrangement with Narco for a dramatic reduction in failure rates of new radios. In response to an ANN inquiry in April regarding the Narco shutdown and its effect on XCOM, Coates responded with an email which says, in part, quote, "It is business as usual at XCOM Avionics because we have known about Narco's problems since the beginning of January and have implemented plans from that date. Narco didn't actually put the parts onto the circuit boards. This was done by a contract manufacturer, and the same company continues to make XCOM radios to this day. Narco assembled and tested the XCOM radio, and many of the people that were working for Narco have committed to continuing the building of XCOM radios under their own company," unquote. You would think that it wouldn't make sense to devote a bunch of work into developing a smartphone app for a single event. And you'd probably be right, if the event wasn't on the scale of EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. Sporties has released the official EAA AirVenture 2011 fly-in app for both Apple devices, iPhones, iPads, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Designed for those arriving by ground or by air, it includes maps, guides, schedules, and late-breaking news. The AirVenture app allows the purchase of advanced tickets and can get up-to-the-minute announcements via the live news and Twitter feeds. Helpful fly-in information includes the complete AirVenture NOTAM for arrival and departure procedures and VFR route planning, aerial images, and much more information for Oshkosh-bound pilots. And as you might expect, Sporty's Vice President John Zimmerman reminds us, quote, "Of course, if you're flying to Oshkosh, you may need tie-downs, batteries, charts, and any number of things. So this app will take you right to Sporty's online store so you can stock up," unquote. One ANN staffer who downloaded the new free app yesterday says he thinks it's going to be very helpful at Oshkosh. A small leather-bound book that powerfully evokes the legacy of World War II's Battle of Britain goes on sale at Bonhams Militaria Sale in Oxford on August 2nd. The book contains 107 signatures of RAF flying officers collected by Norman Phillips, a mess steward at RAF Marklesham Heath in 1941. The little book's leather cover was apparently cut from a mess chair by Group Captain Douglas Bader, whose remarkable story, flying again after losing both his legs, was the basis of the film Reach for the Sky. Winston Churchill, in a conversation with Bader, referred to the book as, quote, "not a book of names, but a book of heroes. God forbid it should ever be lost," unquote. The book also contains signatures from American volunteers, 71 American Eagle Squadron, and other Canadian, Australian, Polish, and Czech pilots, many of whom did not survive the war. Bonhams, which was founded in 1793, is one of the world's oldest and largest auctioneers of fine art and antiques. This unique item is expected to sell for between £6,000 and £8,000. And finally today, to what has to be the relief of the folks at NBAA, at least two national news publications in the U.S. appear to understand that when President Obama takes a political cheap shot at companies operating business aircraft, he's being cynical at best and wildly hypocritical at worst. The Washington Post business section carried an Associated Press article Wednesday which notes, quote, "Most business aircraft are made in America, and the companies and unions that produce them don't appreciate the president's rhetoric or his plan to raise taxes on private jet owners. They fear that both will hurt sales, costing them even more jobs," unquote. A more tongue-in-cheek approach was taken in a recent piece by Rich Karlgaard in his Innovation Rules column in Forbes. His math suggests that President Obama's personal 747, the one frequently called Air Force One, is a perk worth something like $100 million a year. Karlgaard continues, "You are right, Mr. President. Let's end this tax break for corporate jets, which means you pay up, big guy. You owe the IRS roughly $35 million a year for your personal jet," unquote. We hope Rich isn't holding his breath. That's the latest from Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.